everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to this edition of Extra Base Hit. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around Major League Baseball. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have an interview with Gabby Hurlbut. Gabby is the host of the Boston Balling Podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering all sports in the city of Boston. On the program, we discuss the current happenings with the Boston Red Sox, including Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, J.D. Martinez, and more. Plus, we have the current league leaders and standings in Major League Baseball. That's coming up on this edition of Extra Base Hit. First, I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with a gentleman by the name of Casey Close. You're probably saying to yourself, Ed, who in the world is Casey Close? Well, Casey Close is a big-time sports agent in Major League Baseball. His clients includes, well, his clientele, I should say, he's represented in the past, includes Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke, Derek Lee, Ben Sheets, Michael Cuttier, also Josh Hamilton, Eric Milton, Kenny Lofton, and Richie Sexson. In addition, he's also represented some big-time players in Major League Baseball. He represented Derek Jeter for a long time. Well, recently, Casey has been in the news. It was a report that had come out by sports radio talk show host Doug Gottlieb, and Doug claims that Casey had never told his client, well, former client, I should say, Freddie Freeman, about the final offer that was made to him by the Atlanta Braves. For those of you that may be familiar with Freddie Freeman, Freeman spent over a decade with the Atlanta Braves, but now Freeman is no longer with the team. During the offseason, he signed a big contract to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But now it's been reported by Doug Gottlieb, again, who's a popular sports radio talk show host. He says it is alleged that Casey Close never told his former client Freeman about the Braves' final offer. Now, this past weekend, Freeman, along with his current team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, played in a series against the Atlanta Braves. This was Freeman's first time back in Atlanta since October when the Braves won the World Series. And it was practically clear before the deal was signed with the Dodgers that Freeman expressed a lot of concern in wanting to remain in Atlanta, finishing his career with the Braves. And as a result of that, with this recent report that has come out, Freeman recently fired Case. So Casey Close is no longer representing Freddie Freeman. That relationship was severed over this past weekend. And now Casey has said that he plans to put legal action against Doug Gottlieb. Now, I don't know if Doug had heard this from somebody or whatever the case may be, but man, this sounds very strange. Well, not strange, but this has happened in professional sports. I can't remember an incident the last time where an agent stopped a client from wanting to go to a specific team or wanting to sign for a specific amount of money. But that's why I've always been an advocate for players representing themselves. And you're seeing a perfect example with Freddie Freeman getting rid of his former agent, Casey Close. And what happened was this. There was more speculation behind this because, again, as I stated earlier before, Freddie Freeman expressed his desire to finish his career with the Atlanta Braves. Well, here's kind of the events that led up to this. In March of 2022, Close negotiated a contract for Freddie Freeman and the Los Angeles Dodgers worth $162 million, with $57 million being deferred and potentially voidable if Freeman were to be traded. The present-day value of the $162 million contract equates to $148 million. This calculation does not take into account the potentially voidable deferred payments. Prior to the signing, it was reported that Freeman's previous team, the Atlanta Braves, made at least two attempts to extend Freeman during the 2021 season, of course, which was last year when the Braves won the World Series. And a third offer for 5 years, $140 million, that remained on the table throughout Freeman's free agency. According to ESPN's Buster Olney, Casey Close gave the Atlanta Braves general manager Alex Anthopoulos 1 hour to accept one of two proposals, a six-year $175 million deal or a five-year $165 million deal. Well, of course, on March 14th, the Braves traded for Oakland A's player Matt Olson, and one day later they extended him for $168 million over 8 years. Now, again, closest former client Freeman stated in interviews that he was shocked to find out the Braves had completed the trade for Matt Olson and removed their offer, essentially signaling the team that the team was moving on. And again, according to former teammate, mentor, and friend Chipper Jones, he explained to a radio station with conversations that he had with Freeman, he indicated that he wanted to remain in Atlanta. So again, there's so much going on with this, but bottom line is this. Casey Close, who is now Freddie Freeman's former agent, again, is a report that was put out on Twitter and various forms of social media by sports radio talk show host Doug Gottlieb, saying that Freeman expressed concerns that he wanted to remain in Atlanta. Casey did not make that happen, did not listen to him, and now it's just bunch of things going on. So again, Doug Gottlieb mentioned that Casey Close never told Freddie Freeman about the Braves' final offer, and as a result of that, Freeman wound up firing Close. And again, it goes to show you how players from now and in the future need to realize that you have to represent yourself. Players need to take matters into their own hands and learn how to negotiate their own contracts. I think having an agent is important when you get your first contract, when you're a rookie entering any professional sports league, whether it be Major League Baseball, NBA, or NHL, it's very important that players have an agent for that first contract. By the time the second contract rolls around, it's really not necessary for a player to have an agent anymore because of avoiding things like this. When your client does not know about future offers that are coming in from teams or in an extension offer, when your client has already said that they've expressed a desire to remain with a team for the rest of their career. So this is going to be very interesting as this thing unfolds, but you got to remember, players have got to take matters into their own hands. And again, it was a very emotional weekend this past weekend when the Dodgers played the Braves in Atlanta and Freddie Freeman made his return to Atlanta, Freeman expressing desires how he wanted to finished as a Brave. It didn't happen. His former agent, Casey Close, did not tell him about this. But again, Casey has already said that he plans to take legal action and sue Doug Gottlieb. We'll see how that plays out going forward. My next storyline is going to be Freddie Freeman's former team, the Atlanta Braves. The month of June was very kind to the defending World Series champions. As this show is currently airing, the month of June, the Braves finished with a record of 21 wins and 5 losses. Everything was clicking for the Braves, not just from the pitching standpoint, but defensively and offensively as well. The bats were smoking. Austin Riley, someone who played a big role in the Braves' postseason run last year, currently leading the team in home runs with 18. You also had designated hitter Marcell Ozuna, who did not play last year due to certain situations that had taken place with him. He's fit in nicely in the designated hitter role so far. He's hit 14 home runs. Dansby Swanson has played nice. Matt Olson, as I mentioned earlier, brought to Atlanta in the trade from Oakland. He's got 12 home runs so far this year. Travis d'Arnaud has played pretty well. Surprisingly, his bat has been pretty well in this first half of the season. We know d'Arnaud primarily for being a defensive catcher. And then you've got Adam Duvall in the mix and a Ronald Acuna Jr. slowly getting his way back into top form. Again, he's been battling injuries during this first half of the season, but nevertheless, he's starting to get back to Ronald of old. And as far as the pitching rotation is concerned, Kyle Wright, he has a current record of 9-4. Max Fried has a record of 7-2. They're the current aces on this Braves pitching rotation. Ian Anderson's played well with a record of 6-4, and A.J. Minter has a record of 4-1. Kenley Jansen has been remarkable so far since he's been with the Braves in his first year with Atlanta. He currently has 20 saves. However, he's recently been put on the 15-day injured list for recently suffering from an irregular heartbeat, and our prayers go out to Kenley that he makes a speedy recovery and that nothing else happens after this, that it's just only an irregular heartbeat and that he doesn't have any other issues going on with his heart. I know in the past, during his time with the Los Angeles Dodgers, he had similar situations that had happened in regards to him having an irregular heartbeat. And I just hope that they monitor that and pay attention to him as he makes his swift recovery and will come back to play whenever that time comes. But right now, Atlanta, again, the months of April and May were very slow to them, but June was very kind to them. Again, the defending champions starting to find their stride after a slow April and a slow May. And now June has been very kind to them as they had a record of 21 wins and 5 losses. And for my last storyline is going to be the New York Yankees. The Yankees, again, April and May, great months for them. On the last show, I talked about the New York Mets and how the Mets have been balling in this first half of the year. But you know the other New York team has been playing well so far, too, in this first half of the year, and that's the Bronx Bombers, the New York Yankees. We got to talk about Aaron Judge, man. Aaron Judge currently leading the American League in home runs. He currently has 29. He's been playing awesome in this first half of the year. Aaron Judge, you can't forget about Giancarlo Stanton. How about Anthony Rizzo and Gleyber Torres? They have complemented Aaron and Giancarlo so well in this first half of the season. And the pitching rotation has been pretty well when you've got Gerrit Cole with a 6-1 record, Nestor Cortes Jr. with a record of 6-2. As far as closing pitchers are concerned, the Yankees have rotated with Clay Holmes and Aroldis Chapman. Clay has 11 saves currently, and Aroldis has 9 saves currently. So the Bronx Bombers have been balling throughout this whole month. Again, April, they had a record of 15-6. The month of May, they had a record of 19-9. And as this show is airing, they have a record of 22 wins and 5 losses to end the month of June. So the Yankees, this first half of the year has been awesome, and as they continue to fight for supremacy in New York in terms of which team is better, is it the team from the Bronx or is it the team from Queens with the Mets? But right now, we know what the Mets are doing this year, but let's give mad props to the New York Yankees with the bats. The offense has been rolling, led by Aaron Judge, and then when you put Anthony Rizzo and the other names, as I mentioned, with Giancarlo Stanton and Gleyber Torres, the Yankees are definitely going to finish out strong in this first half of the Major League Baseball season. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll have the current league leaders and standings in Major League Baseball. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Extra Base Hit.
.145/92.
180/111.
182/100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. It's his tone.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's now time for the current league leaders in Major League Baseball. Let's start off in the American League. Leading the American League in batting average is Luis Arias from the Minnesota Twins. He's batting .337. Coming in at number two is Rafael Devers from the Boston Red Sox. He's batting .328. Coming in third is his teammate from the Boston Red Sox, Xander Bogaerts. He's batting .326. Coming in fourth is Alejandro Kirk from the Toronto Blue Jays. He's batting .320. And coming in fifth is Yordan Alvarez from the Houston Astros. He's batting at .316. Next category is home runs. I mentioned his name in the last segment, Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees. He's leading the American League with 29 home runs. Tied for second, Yordan Alvarez from the Houston Astros and Mike Trout from the Los Angeles Angels. They both had 23 home runs. And then tied for fourth, Byron Buxton from the Minnesota Twins and Anthony Rizzo from the New York Yankees. They've both hit 20 home runs so far. Next category is RBIs, runs batted in. Coming in at number one is Jose Ramirez from the Cleveland Indians. He has 63 RBIs. Coming in at number two is Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees. He has 59 RBIs. Coming in third is Yordan Alvarez from the Houston Astros. He has 56. And then tied for fourth, Giancarlo Stanton from the New York Yankees and Trevor Story from the Boston Red Sox. They both have 52 RBIs. Next category is runs scored. Once again, he's leading the American League currently in home runs, and he leads the American League in runs scored, Aaron Judge. He has 62 runs scored. Coming in at number two is Rafael Devers. He has scored 56 runs. Mike Trout comes in third with 53 runs scored. Coming in fourth is Yordan Alvarez. He has 49 runs scored. And in fifth is Xander Bogaerts. He has 47 runs scored. Next category that we have is stolen bases. Tied for first in the stolen bases category is Jorge Mateo from the Baltimore Orioles and Julio Rodriguez from the Seattle Mariners. They both have stolen 19 bases so far this year. Coming in third is Randy Arozarena from the Tampa Bay Rays. He has stolen 17 bases. Coming in fourth is Cedric Mullins from the Baltimore Orioles. He has stolen 16 bases. And in fifth is Kyle Tucker from the Houston Astros. He has stolen 14 bases. Next category is hits. Coming in at number one is Rafael Devers from the Boston Red Sox. He has 98 hits so far this season. Coming in at number two is his teammate Xander Bogaerts. He has 89 hits. Coming in at third is Ty France from the Seattle Mariners. He has 87 hits. Coming in at fourth from the Kansas City Royals is Andrew Benintendi. He has 84 hits. And in fifth is Luis Arias from the Minnesota Twins. He has 83 hits. And the last category that we have is on-base plus slugging percentage. At number one is Yordan Alvarez from the Houston Astros. At number two, Mike Trout from the Los Angeles Angels. In third is Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees. And fourth is Jose Ramirez from the Cleveland Indians. And in fifth is Rafael Devers from the Boston Red Sox. Next, we move along now to the pitching side. And starting off with the wins category, leading the American League in wins is Justin Verlander from the Houston Astros. He has 10 wins. Tied for second is Alex Manoa from the Toronto Blue Jays and Jameson Taillon from the New York Yankees. They both have 9 wins. And then tied for fourth is Logan Gilbert from the Seattle Mariners and Shane McClanahan from the Tampa Bay Rays. They both have 8 wins. Next category is saves. Leading the American League so far in saves is Emmanuel Clase from the Cleveland Guardians. He has 18 saves. Coming in at number two is Jordan Romano from the Toronto Blue Jays. He has 17 saves. Tied for third is Liam Hendricks from the Chicago White Sox and Ryan Pressly from the Houston Astros. They both have 16 saves. And in fifth is Raisel Iglesias from the Los Angeles Angels. He has 15 saves. Next category is ERA, which stands for Earned Run Average. At number one, Shane McClanahan from the Tampa Bay Rays. He has an ERA of 1.77. At number two is Justin Verlander from the Houston Astros. His ERA is 2.03. And they're coming in third place is Alex Manoa from the Toronto Blue Jays. He has an ERA of 2.09. And fourth is Martin Perez from the Texas Rangers. His ERA is 2.22. And then fifth is Logan Gilbert from the Seattle Mariners. He has an ERA of 2.44. Next category is strikeouts. He leads the American League currently in ERA, and he leads the American League in strikeouts. Shane McClanahan, he has an ERA of, he has 123 strikeouts so far this season. Coming in at number two is Dylan Cease from the Chicago White Sox. He has 121 strikeouts. Coming in third is Gerrit Cole from the New York Yankees. He has 111 strikeouts. In fourth is Robbie Ray from the Seattle Mariners. He has 105 strikeouts. And in fifth is Shohei Ohtani from the Los Angeles Angels. He has 101 strikeouts. Next category is innings pitched. Robbie Ray is number one from the Seattle Mariners. He's pitched 97.2 innings so far this season. Coming in at number two, Justin Verlander from the Houston Astros. He's pitched 97.1 innings. Coming in third is Frankie Montas from the Oakland Athletics. He's pitched 95.2 innings. Coming in fourth from the Houston Astros is Framber Valdez from the Houston Astros. He's pitched 95 innings. And in fifth is Alek Manoah from the Toronto Blue Jays. He's pitched 94.2 innings. And the last category that we have is walks plus hits and innings pitched. At number one, Shane McClanahan from the Tampa Bay Rays. At number two, Justin Verlander from the Houston Astros. And coming in third, Alek Manoah from the Toronto Blue Jays. And fourth, we have Nestor Cortez representing the New York Yankees, and his teammate is fifth in Gerrit Cole. So that takes care of the league leaders in the American League. We move along now to the National League. Leading the National League in batting average is Paul Goldschmidt. What a first half of the year he's having. Paul is batting .342, representing the St. Louis Cardinals. At number two is Manny Machado from the San Diego Padres. He's batting at .328. Coming in third, representing the New York Mets, Jeff McNeil. He's batting .323. Coming in fourth is Josh Bell, representing the Washington Nationals. He's batting .319. And in fifth is Philadelphia Phillies breakout player Bryce Harper. He's batting .318. Next category is home runs. We have a tie for first place in the National League in home runs. We have Pete Alonso from the New York Mets and Kyle Schwarber from the Philadelphia Phillies. They both have 22 home runs. Tied for third, Paul Goldschmidt from the St. Louis Cardinals and Christian Walker from the Arizona Diamondbacks. They've both hit 19 home runs. And in fifth is Austin Riley representing the Atlanta Braves. He's hit 18 home runs. Next category is RBIs, runs batted in. He leads the National League currently in home runs, and he also leads in RBIs. Pete Alonso representing the New York Mets. He has 69 RBIs. Coming in at number two is Paul Goldschmidt from the St. Louis Cardinals. He has 65 RBIs. And then tied for third, we have C.J. Cron representing the Colorado Rockies, Francisco Lindor representing the New York Mets, and Trey Turner representing the Los Angeles Dodgers. They all have 56 RBIs. Next category is runs scored. At number one, Tommy Edman from the St. Louis Cardinals. He scored 58 runs. At number two is his teammate, Paul Goldschmidt. He has scored 56 runs. Tied for third, Mookie Betts representing the Los Angeles Dodgers and Kyle Schwarber representing the Philadelphia Phillies. They've both scored 53 runs. And Freddie Freeman comes in at fifth representing the Los Angeles Dodgers. He scored 50 runs. Next category is stolen bases. At number one, John Bertie representing the Miami Marlins. He's stolen 22 bases. Coming in at number two representing the St. Louis Cardinals is Tommy Edman. He has 19 stolen bases. And then tied for third is Tommy's teammate, Harrison Bader. He has 15 stolen bases, and also with 15 stolen bases representing the Los Angeles Dodgers is Trey Turner. And in fifth is Ronald Acuna Jr. from the Atlanta Braves with 13 stolen bases. We have the next category, which is hits. Paul Goldschmidt, yet again, leading the National League in batting average, also in the top five in home runs, RBIs, and runs scored, and now he leads the National League in hits with 96. At number two, Trey Turner representing the Los Angeles Dodgers with 92 hits. His teammate Freddie Freeman comes in third with 90 hits. In fourth, Josh Bell from the Washington Nationals with 88 hits. And then in fifth, representing the Colorado Rockies, is C.J. Cron with 87 hits. Last category that we have is on-base plus slugging percentage. At number one, Paul Goldschmidt from the St. Louis Cardinals. At number two is Bryce Harper from the Philadelphia Phillies. Manny Machado is third, representing the San Diego Padres. In fourth is Pete Alonso from the New York Mets. And in fifth, representing the Chicago Cubs, is Wilson Contreras. That takes care of the hitting side. Let's move along now to the pitching side in the National League. In the category of wins, we have a tie for first place in the wins category. Tony Gonsolin from the Los Angeles Dodgers and Kyle Wright from the Atlanta Braves. They both have 9 wins. And then tied for third, Sandy Alcantara from the Miami Marlins, Tyler Anderson from the Los Angeles Dodgers, and Carlos Carrasco from the New York Mets. They all have 8 wins. Next category is saves. At number one, Josh Hader from the Milwaukee Brewers. Man, he is still doing his thing and being one of the premier closers in Major League Baseball. He leads the National League with 24 saves. Coming in at number two is Taylor Rogers from the San Diego Padres with 22 saves. In third is Kenley Jansen from the Atlanta Braves with 20 saves. In fourth is Edwin Diaz from the New York Mets. He has 16 saves. And then Daniel Bard, representing the Colorado Rockies, is fifth with 15 saves. Next category that we have is ERA, earned run average. Tony Gonsolin, representing the Los Angeles Dodgers, comes in at number one with an ERA of 1.58. At number two is Sandy Alcantara from the Miami Marlins. He has an ERA of 1.95. In third is Joe Musgrove from the San Diego Padres. He has an ERA of 2.12. Coming in at fourth is Corbin Burnes from the Milwaukee Brewers. He has an ERA of 2.41. And in fifth is Miles Mikolas from the St. Louis Cardinals. He has an ERA of 2.57. Next category is strikeouts. At number one, Corbin Burnes from the Milwaukee Brewers. He has an ERA, he has 119 strikeouts. At number two, Aaron Nola from the Philadelphia Phillies. He has 109 strikeouts. Coming in third is Carlos Rodon, the former Chicago White Sox pitcher now playing for the San Francisco Giants. He has 105 strikeouts. And tied for fourth, Sandy Alcantara from the Miami Marlins and Tyler Mahle from the Cincinnati Reds. They both have 97 strikeouts. Next category is innings pitched. At number one, Sandy Alcantara from the Miami Marlins. He's pitched 115 innings. At number two, Aaron Nola from the Philadelphia Phillies. He's pitched 96 innings. Coming in third is Miles Mikolas from the St. Louis Cardinals. He's pitched 94.2 innings. In fourth, Max Fried from the Atlanta Braves. He's pitched 94.1 innings. And in fifth is Corbin Burnes from the Milwaukee Brewers. He's pitched 93 innings. And the last category that we have is walks and hits innings pitched. Number one, Tony Gonsolin from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Aaron Nola from the Philadelphia Phillies is number two. In third is Corbin Burnes from the Milwaukee Brewers. In fourth, Joe Musgrove from the San Diego Padres. And in fifth is Sandy Alcantara from the Miami Marlins. And that takes care of your league leaders for the American League and the National League. Let's move along now to the current standings in Major League Baseball. Let's start off in the American League. In the American League East, the New York Yankees are in first place currently with a record of 56 wins and 20 losses. Coming in at number two are the Boston Red Sox. They have a record of 43-33. The Toronto Blue Jays are next with a record of 42-33. The Tampa Bay Rays are next with a record of 40-34. And the Baltimore Orioles are last with a record of 35-42. Next division is the American League Central. At number one, the Minnesota Twins. They have a record of 43-35. The Cleveland Guardians are next with a record of 38-34. The Chicago White Sox are next with a record of 35-39. The Detroit Tigers are next with a record of 29-45. And the Kansas City Royals are last with a record of 27-47. And the last division that we have is the American League West. The Houston Astros have the lead currently with a record of 47-27. The Texas Rangers are next with a record of 36-38. The Los Angeles Angels are next with a record of 37-41, followed by the Seattle Mariners with a record of 36-41, and the Oakland A's are last with a record of 25-52. We move along now to the National League, and I tell you what, the National League East always been a tough division. It has not been a dull moment so far in this first half of the season. The New York Mets remained with the lead with a record of 47-29, followed by the Atlanta Braves with a record of 44-32. The Philadelphia Phillies are next with a record of 39-37. The Miami Marlins are next with a record of 34-40. The Washington Nationals are next with a record of 29-49. We move along now to the National League Central Division. The Milwaukee Brewers have a record of 44-33, followed by the St. Louis Cardinals with a record of 43-35. The Pittsburgh Pirates are next with a record of 30-45, followed by the Chicago Cubs. They have a record of 29-46, and the Cincinnati Reds are last with a record of 26-48. And finally, we have the National League West Division, and this division has been dog-eat-dog for so long, and it's continued to be proven during this first half of the season. The Los Angeles Dodgers have a record of 46-28, followed by the San Diego Padres with a record of 46-31. The San Francisco Giants are next with a record of 40-34, followed by the Arizona Diamondbacks with a record of 34-42. And the Colorado Rockies are last with a record of 33-43. And those are your current standings in Major League Baseball. All right, when we come back from the break, we have an interview with Gabby Hurlbut. Gabby is the host of the Boston Balling Podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering all sports in the city of Boston. On the program, we discuss the current happenings with the Boston Red Sox, including Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, J.D. Martinez, and so much more. Gabby is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Extra Base Hit.
Ask Gregory is a financial podcast from the guys who bring you Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Something that's come up on the show over the last 10 years is that if you're not at your old job, maybe your 401k shouldn't be either. But do you really know why we say that? It's a funny thing. We put a few $100 in our 401k every month. It ends up to be thousands of dollars every year, hundreds of thousands of dollars over our career, and you don't really know that much about it. How do you invest it? How do you diversify? What do you buy? What do you avoid? You've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do. Ask Gregory. Ask Gregory is our new podcast with these financial topics broken down into specific little chunks. So if you have a financial situation or you just want to learn more about money, ask Gregory. Find the Ask Gregory podcast on the Winning at Life app or wherever you get podcasts. Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any government agency. Ask Gregory is a financial podcast from the guys who bring you Winning at Life with Gregory Riggs. Something that's come up is, if you're not at your old job, maybe your 401k shouldn't be either. But do you really know why we say that? Ask Gregory is our new podcast with financial topics broken down into specific little chunks. So if you have a financial situation or you just want to learn more about money, ask Gregory. Find the Ask Gregory podcast on the Winning at Life app or wherever you get podcasts. Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any government agency.
Ground ball to third. Ramirez down to second. One. And that one gets by. Here comes the run. In to score. The Red Sox get on the board that way.
Savali looking to the runner. He throws. And Christian rips one into right field. Hangs up for Gonzalez. He started in. Now back. It's over his head. It one hops the wall. Franchi's going to be waved home. The throw to second. Not in time. RBI double for Christian Vasquez.
Back to it. Rosario shovels for one on the first, looking for two, and it's bobbled again. Vasquez is in to score.
3-2. Runners will start at every base. The pitch is swung on and looped into shallow left field. Back on it goes Rosario. In comes the left fielder. He dives. He can't get it. It's in for a hit. Martinez has scored. Bogaerts behind him. It's a two-run bloop hit for Trevor Story, and it's 5-0 Red Sox. Devers today has lined out to center, singled to center, was intentionally walked in the fourth, and then grounded out to short. 5-1 Red Sox in the seventh. Tully, the left-hander, throws, and Raffy rips one on the ground into center field. That's a base hit. Vasquez scores. 6-1 Red Sox. Two on, two out. Big spot for J.D., who's had a great day.
Stocks that one toward the alley. There's nobody out there. It's onto the grass. Here comes Jackie in to score. In the second base, J.D.'s got himself a double. Red Sox add on indeed here. And now lead it 7-3. And all loaded up. And that squibs right through, right past Mealy, and another run is in. Here comes Raffy Devers to score.
Big run right there.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of NESN, N-E-S-N, the New England Sports Network, and also Bally Sports Great Lakes, as the Boston Red Sox went on to beat the Cleveland Guardians 8-3 in the game from June the 26th of 2022, providing the offense for the Sox, Rafael Devers, J.D. Martinez, also Trevor Story, and Christian Vasquez. To talk more about the current happenings with the Boston Red Sox, we want to welcome her back to the program. She is the host of the Boston Balling Podcast, which is a podcast that's dedicated to all things related to sports in the city of Boston and, of course, her beloved Red Sox that she loves very much, Gabby Hurlbut. Gabby, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me back on. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So the Red Sox, Gabby, April and May was not kind to the boys from Boston. However, June has been a great month for the Sox. Give me your thoughts on why the month of June has been better for the Red Sox.
Yeah, you know, I think a couple big things that I'm looking at here in terms of their turnaround from May to June in particular, the offense really was kind of quiet for the entire month of April. People really weren't hitting the top of the lineup consisting of Tanner Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, J.D. Martinez. Those types of guys were not stepping up at the beginning of the season, and it was really, really affecting the lineup. And then Trevor Story was still trying to figure things out. Try to feel out being in Boston, kind of his adjustment to being here. So he wasn't doing a whole lot offensively either. So from an offensive standpoint, the bats have really started to click a lot more. But the main thing that I definitely would highlight is the starting pitching. Their starting pitching has been very, very good. They have one of the best ERAs in baseball in the month of June, and that primarily is due to the starting rotation, who overall has been very reliable. And in June in particular, they collected a lot of wins due to that rotation. So I'm looking at that as one of the biggest standout reasons why they started playing better baseball and why they were stringing together some more wins. And it's very exciting to watch because we're now starting to really see the Red Sox be the Red Sox, the team that went to the ALCS last year. And I'm very, very excited about what I've seen from that starting pitching rotation.
Indeed, it's always great to see the Red Sox get on winning ways again. Of course, both New York teams have been playing very well in the first half of the season, but now with the Red Sox having a great month of June, that could set the stage for them to continue to play well right before the All-Star break. You mentioned his name. I want to start off talking about Trevor Story. Trevor was one of the big free agent acquisitions during the offseason coming over from Colorado. And I tell you one thing, Trevor has been phenomenal so far in this first half of the season. He's only like several home runs behind Rafael Devers in the team lead in terms of home runs. Give me your thoughts on Trevor and his play so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, it was rough. He was very, very cold for April and then ended up really turning things around in May, had a great month then. And then in June, he has been very, very good as well. And so I think part of it with him was there's a couple different factors to keep in mind here. Him coming to Boston is an adjustment, you know, switching from the National League to the American League, switching to second base, because he primarily has played shortstop. So switching to a second baseman was also an adjustment period for him, as well as the fact that he was one of the last free agents to sign somewhere, so he didn't really get as much of a spring training as some of the other players got. So I wanted people to give him time. But what he's shown over the last month or so is that he really is starting to get acclimated defensively. He's made some outstanding plays at second base, which I think is very beneficial for the Red Sox in terms of trying to extend Tanner Bogaerts in this offseason, because if they know that they can rely on Story to play second base, they can try to pursue a deal with Tanner Bogaerts, which I hope they do. But I think Trevor Story overall, I mean, we knew that he has the power. We know that he's a home run hitter. We know that he can also strike out. We knew all of that coming in with him. But I think from a standpoint of Trevor Story, he's really, really good in that middle of the lineup, because the middle to end of the lineup last year was definitely a little bit of a weakness. There's a lot of power hitting in the front half of the lineup. And so where he's hitting now, he's typically hitting out of the spot, I think is a really good place for him because that's a good enforcement. And he's been following Alex Verdugo, who's been red hot lately with the bat. So having somebody like Trevor Story after him in the lineup has really, really been beneficial for this team. And I think, as long as things continue to go well for him, I think people are going to start to be really satisfied with the fact that they brought him in, because he's just somebody who can just really leverage the lineup. And defensively, I think he's starting to really get used to playing second base, and he's made some outstanding plays out there.
Indeed, it's going to get better for Trevor as we can conclude on the first half of the year and going into the second half of the season. You mentioned his name earlier, Gabby, Xander Bogaerts. Wow, since he's arrived in Boston, he has been a combination of power, speed, and defense as well. This is a big year for him because this is a contract year for him. Two-part question. Yep. Give me your thoughts on Xander and his play in the first half of the year, and what's the status going on in terms of locking him down long-term for him to remain in Boston?
Yeah, sure. So his first half of the season, he's been showing why they should offer him a long-term extension. He has one of the best batting averages in baseball right now. He's third in the American League, with Devers being one of the people that's ahead of him. So obviously from an offensive standpoint, he really has been producing more so than the majority of other people in that lineup. And we know how he is defensively. You know what you're going to get from him defensively as a shortstop. He was one of the biggest people pushing for them to bring Trevor Story here. I know he really, really was happy with that move and really wanted Trevor to be here. And I'm looking at this as, Xander is going to be a big loss to the team if they don't bring him back. I think there's holes that are going to need to be filled if they don't. So I'd be very disappointed if they don't. They haven't really talked about anything, really, because I know he said he isn't really interested in trying to talk about a deal during the season. I think, if they don't extend him, then they would probably just move Story back to shortstop and make some adjustments to their infield a little bit. But it would be very disappointing for me to see that happen and let him walk. If he gets offered some more money elsewhere, obviously I think he would take it. And I think there would be other teams that would offer him a lot of money. But I think based on what he's been doing the first half of the season and his production, especially from an offensive standpoint, is how people are really starting to see how much that productivity would be missed if they don't keep him here long term. And I think Kyle Bloom is aware of that, and I think he knows, how loved and valued Xander Bogaerts is in Boston and how useful his bat is here. But it's just a matter of, are they going to spend the money? And it's really, really hit or miss with this Red Sox team. You don't know what he's going to spend money on and not spend money on. And so this offseason is going to be crucial because you have him, and it's also a contract year for Rafael Devers, too. And that's another one that is worth a long-term extension, too. And, people can argue Bogaerts is on the older side, which he is. But I think from a familiarity standpoint with Boston, from a leadership standpoint, and from a productivity standpoint, he would really, really be missed in multiple ways if they don't extend him.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I mean, you mentioned the other gentleman, Rafael Devers, him and Xander, and of course when you put JD in the mix as well, especially within the last 4 to 5 years, they've really been the consistency of that Red Sox team, of that Boston franchise. And I'm like you, Gabby, I'm hoping Xander can stay in Boston for the long haul. We'll get more into Rafi in just a little bit. I want to talk about JD Martinez. You talk about a man that epitomizes the designated hitter position. He's doing what he's been doing for so long since he's arrived in Boston, hitting home runs, getting big hits on the offensive side as the DH. Give me your thoughts on JD and his play so far this year.
Yeah, you said it really well. JD is like a perfect designated hitter. I mean, the guy does everything he needs to do at the plate to get things done. He's somebody who can be clutch when he needs to be clutch, and he's somebody who can hit for power. But he can also hit singles and doubles and get on base, which is something I really, really like about JD is his versatility at the plate and how much he can really do. And, you know, when you're in a lineup where you're following Rafael Devers in the order, you know that's a pretty good lineup to be a part of. And so based on where JD hits in the order coming right behind Devers, that's a really good spot for him because, you know, if Devers gets on base, there's a good chance that JD can make something happen there. And then you go to Xander, who we just talked about after that. I think what JD does for this team is really, really bolsters the lineup when you're looking for that hitter that can come in that has a lot of really, really good plate discipline. He'll take his walks. He'll strike out, but not a whole lot because he has a really good eye when it comes to reading pitches. And so that's somebody who you want in your lineup, especially in intense games. Like in the postseason, he's pretty clutch. Usually he'll get those big hits to score base runners. So he's very, very good with runners on base. And so he's been a little bit cold as of late, but every player goes through those slumps at the plate, you know, that just happens. It's a long season. But overall, I think he's the perfect DH. I think he's somebody who I'm happy that he opted into his contract this past offseason because he was somebody who could have walked away too. But I think he likes playing in Boston. He wants to finish his career here. And he just is somebody who fits in really well with the chemistry that the Red Sox have off the baseball field as well. So he's always the one that's, you know, super excited in the dugout when somebody hits a home run. So he's just really the perfect DH. He can do a lot. He's versatile. He's very, very just knowledgeable about the game and about his offensive approach. And so I really, really like just how he fits in terms of keeping that offense rolling on a nightly basis.
Rightfully so, man. JD's always been fun to watch for quite a while now, and especially since he's worn that Red Sox uniform, he's definitely kind of been the glue when it comes to the offensive side. I want to bring up a couple of more players, Bobby Dalbec and Alex Verdugo. You mentioned about Verdugo. The last time I had you on, Gabby, you talked about the potential of Verdugo coming through the farm system and representing the youthful side of things for the Red Sox, and Dalbec has kind of become like a local hero in the Boston area. Give me your thoughts on Bobby and Alex's play so far this year.
Yeah, Alex Verdugo, I mean, that kid is so impressive right now. I mean, he was one of the players that I picked to have a big breakout season this year going into the season. I think there's still so much upside with him. He's still young, and obviously him coming in was a little bit of a sensitive topic for Red Sox fans because they had to part ways with Mookie Betts, and he was one of the ones that came over in that trade. And, you know, people didn't know what the potential was. He was one of the Dodgers' top prospects coming in, so you knew that there was potential there. Wasn't sure how he was going to fit in with Boston. But that kid, you can tell, just loves playing here. He's always smiling. He's always in the dugout, like, laughing with his teammates. And so I think he really feels like this is a good place for him to play. And he fits in well with what the Red Sox are doing. He's been red hot at the plate lately. There's been a lot of improvements I've seen from him defensively this year, too. He's made some tremendous catches in left field this year. And so from a defensive standpoint, I think he's come a long way. But offensively, I really just want to highlight just how aggressive he's become, because last year he was very much a little tentative and shy at the plate when it came to certain things and really attacking the baseball. But he's a lot more aggressive at the plate now. He waits for his pitches when he needs to, and he, you know, he knows kind of what types of pitches he should be swinging at and not swinging at. So he's a lot more aggressive. He's not afraid to attack and jump on pitches. He's been a kind of a, what I like to describe, like a pitch kind of guy. Lately, he'll swing at a lot of first pitches, and sometimes that doesn't work out for him, but a lot of times it does. If he feels like that's the best pitch he's going to see at the at-bat, he's the type of guy that will attack those pitches. And so having him be just as hot as he is at the plate right now has been tremendous for this lineup, because last year there was always kind of a little bit of a hole of drop-off after Xander Bogaerts would hit. And so I think having him followed by Trevor Story as those two middle-of-the-order guys has been absolutely huge for this team, and Alex Verdugo has been one of the biggest difference makers, I'd say, this year from an offensive standpoint, just with how well he's been hitting lately.
All right, and let's go to the defensive side of the ball for a moment. Behind the plate, Christian Vasquez, the catcher. The last time I had you on, Gabby, we talked about Christian Vasquez, and you said that he represents the defensive side of things, being one of the top defensive catchers in the league. Give me your thoughts on Christian and his play in so far this season.
Yeah, sure. So Christian, I mean, I've always had mixed feelings on the guy because he was never really that great of a hitter. But like I said, defensively, he was one of the best defensive catchers in baseball. But he's been really good hitting-wise this year. He's actually been one of their best hitters this season so far. And, you know, having him come in and hit at the bottom of the lineup is huge for them because that gives more production at the bottom of the order, because that 7, 8, and 9, those hitters were rough to watch last year, because a lot of times the 7, 8, and 9 hitters, most of the time, were automatic outs, as mean as that kind of sounds, but it was really just, they were really not reliable. A lot of times, like, you couldn't really trust people hitting in that bottom of the order. But from a reliability standpoint this year, he's been a lot better at the plate. I hope that continues. I mean, he's gotten a couple of the really big hits lately. I mean, he was really good in the Guardian series. So, he's definitely, I think, starting to win more people over from an offensive standpoint, because, I mean, the guy works really, really hard. He always has worked really, really hard, and I'm just noticing a difference in his approach at the plate this year, and I think it's been really beneficial for the team overall. I mean, he and obviously he's another one that's a really good leader for this team, and he's always, you know, keeping his pitchers on track and making sure that his pitchers kind of know that they're on the same page with him, and just the way he interacts with his pitchers during a game, I really like about him as well. So I think it's really good for him to, be a part of this team. And I know you mentioned Bobby Dalbec too. That kid, obviously last year, first half of the season, he really struggled. Second half of the year, he really turned it on. So people weren't really sure what they were going to get from him this year going into the season, kind of what version of Bobby Dalbec we were going to get. But his plate discipline is something I really want to highlight about him that's gotten a lot better this year. He's being more patient with pitches. He's taking smarter at-bats. And so he's definitely somebody who, from an offensive standpoint, I've seen improvement, and I think that's really huge for this Red Sox team, because his name has been thrown around in trade scenarios in the past. If he was somebody who wasn't showing improvement, or maybe wasn't somebody who could fit in well with the offense, really. But I think he's shown a lot more plate discipline, which has really helped his play this year. Defensively, he definitely still needs some work. I mean, like, he's made some errors at first base this year, but that to me is more of an experience thing. And he has, he has Rafael Devers at third base and Xander Bogaerts at shortstop to throw the ball to him, those ground balls, and make those plays, who are obviously really good defensively at their position. So I think that comes with time and experience, but I definitely really like the improvement I'm seeing at the plate from him.
All right, and you mentioned his name, Rafael Devers. He's leading the team currently in home runs, and this gentleman, since he's arrived in Boston, has been everything and then some for the Red Sox. He's been the power. He's been a solid defender at the third base position, and Rafi is definitely somebody, as we talked about Xander Bogaerts earlier, up for an extension this year. Two-part question. Give me your thoughts on Rafi and his play so far this year, and what's the status like him getting signed to a long-term deal to stay with the Red Sox in the future?
Yeah, that's another one, too. That's another big name that's being talked about right now. That, to me, would be a huge disappointment with somebody as young as him with his much talent if they let him walk and do not re-sign him, because I know there will be plenty of teams out there who would offer him a lot of money. And with how much talent he has, I think that definitely needs to be a priority in this offseason, is for them to figure something out with him. And I do feel like they will. I think they really value Rafi, and I think he's somebody that who they will prioritize trying to work out an extension with. I don't know that they would keep both of them, but I do think that they would try to prioritize keeping Rafi. But there's so much you can say about that kid. I mean, he really can do it all. Defensively, he did struggle last year, but he's gotten a lot better defensively at third base. And obviously his offense, I mean, he's one of the best hitters in the American League. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. I mean, he leads the team in home runs. He gets base hits. I mean, the kid really a version of somebody who can just do it all. And I think, you know, his trajectory, he has so much potential to really be one of the best players in the game. I think as long as he doesn't get injured and he continues to do what he's doing, because a lot of pitchers don't want to face him. He's gotten intentionally walked a good amount of times this year because pitchers just feel unsettled pitching to him because he can really hit any pitch. He can hit to all sides of the ballpark. There's just so much you can say about him. I mean, I definitely am concerned about the extension. I think he obviously would love to stay here. But again, like, he'll leave for more money like anybody else would. And I think that definitely needs to be a priority. I think Red Sox fans will go absolutely ballistic if they don't keep him, as they should. And so I think there's so much you can say about him. And just the fact that he's doing this now at this young of an age is super exciting, because just to see how his career plays out going forward is definitely going to be a story to watch for anybody that's a baseball fan, no matter what team you like. He's just one of those players, I think, that's going to be really exciting to watch for years to come, just with how much he can really do on the baseball field.
Yeah, I would be very sad if Rafi would leave Boston, similar to the situation with Xander. If that was to happen, I'm hoping that they can keep those two for many years to come, definitely have that championship nucleus to challenge the Yankees and others in the American League. I want to move along now to the pitching side of things. Nick Pivetta. Nick is currently leading the team in wins, ERA, innings pitched, and strikeouts. He's been the ace so far for the Red Sox this year. Give me your thoughts on Nick and his play.
Yeah, I love Nick Pivetta. I'm a huge fan. I mean, last year, everybody was not super sold on him coming here. They made a pitching deal with the Phillies, brought him in, and then last year, the season he had, I mean, it was good, but it wasn't not nearly as close to what he's doing now. And I knew coming into this season that he had potential. I was like, okay, I really want to see what this guy can do, because I think he really has the potential to have a good season. And for the most part, when he's on the mound, you're going to feel comfortable with him starting games. Like, when he comes out there, you know, for the most part, unless it's an off day for him, you're going to see good stuff from him. I mean, he's had a tremendous season so far. I think he worked really, really hard this offseason. He significantly improved, and I think last year it really was about reps for him, honestly. I think he just needed to get more reps, get more experience, and now he has his year, I think, to really continue to thrive and, you know, show why he should be here and the type of pitcher he is. And, you know, the majority of the time I feel comfortable with Pivetta out there.
All right, I want to talk about another ace on the rotation, and that's Michael Wacha. This is Michael's first year with the Red Sox, and, man, we know about his pedigree, being an all-star with the St. Louis Cardinals, then one season with the Mets, and then spent one season with the Rays last season. But this is his first year with the Red Sox, and so far so good. Give me your thoughts on Michael and his play so far.
Yeah, I'm actually pleasantly surprised. When they brought Michael Wacha in this offseason, I wasn't exactly sure, you know, why that was or what they kind of saw in him. So it was a questionable move for me at first, because I was like, well, is he going to be a starter, or are they going to try to use him as a long reliever? Like, what's going to go on with this guy? But he has phenomenal stuff. When that guy is on, he is on, and he's very, very tough to hit. When he's on, he's kind of a secret weapon, I like to describe him as, for the Red Sox right now. He's that guy who you can place out there on any given night, and he can be really, really nasty with his stuff. And I think he's been kind of a just really surprising in a good way piece that the Red Sox added. And I think when they added him, obviously Chaim Bloom saw something in him, but I don't think anybody expected him to be this good. And I think that's been huge and a huge bolster for the starting rotation. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why the starting rotation is as strong as they are, because people don't really talk about the Red Sox rotation that much, really, because the bullpen is so bad. But I think he's one of the biggest reasons why the rotation has been as good as they are, because he's another one, too, besides Pivetta, that I really trust on most nights to go out there and shove and really put on a good performance. And I think, from credit to Chaim Bloom for bringing him in and seeing something in him, because he was not really a name I would have thought of originally. He wasn't that expensive either. And so I think it was a great deal for them. I think it was low risk, high reward, and the high reward part right now seems to be panning out. So they'll reevaluate that situation at the end of this year too. But I think he's, I think he's been a really key part of the rotation. I think he's somebody that they would like to keep if they can, and I hope that they do, because he seems really comfortable pitching in Boston, and I just really enjoy watching him play.
Well, we talked about the power pitching of Michael Wacha and Nick Pivetta, but someone that's not really known for being a power pitcher, but someone that's always been known for his control, and that's Rich Hill. Rich has been a journeyman throughout much of his career, however, being primarily known for his time with the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is his first year with the Boston Red Sox. He's currently the oldest person on the rotation. Just give me your thoughts on Rich and his play this season.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the fact that the guy is still playing baseball, props to him, for one. I think that that's pretty fantastic at his age to still be doing what he's doing. It feels like he's been in the league forever, but, like you said, he had a lot of success with the Dodgers. What I really like about him is, like you said, his control. He's very much like a calm pitcher. He doesn't really get rattled by a lot of things, and I think part of that has to do with experience and how long he's been there. I think he doesn't really get rattled a lot in general. Like, not a lot really bothers him or affects him when he's on the mound. He's a very, very calm guy and stays collected when he's out there, and it shows because he usually has pretty good command of his pitches. And I think with Rich Hill, that was going to be a very hit or miss signing this offseason because of his age and obviously the question of whether he could stay healthy. And I always saw that when they brought him in as somebody who, if we're lucky, could be a back-end starter that could be good enough in, out of the 4 or 5 spot in the rotation. And so far, so far that's been good for him. So far he's been kind of obviously not their best starter, but he hasn't been bad either by any means. He gets the job done, and he goes in and he does what a good fourth or fifth starter to do. And I think, with some of these players that are injured, when they bring them back, I think we could see some changes in terms of who's throwing out of the rotation and who's pitching out of the bullpen. But I do overall like what I've seen from him. I think that move, he does have familiarity with Boston because he's pitched for the Red Sox in the past. So I think from an experience standpoint, I think that was probably one of the things that Chaim Bloom liked about him, the familiarity aspect. And I think he saw him as somebody who could come in and contribute right away out of the rotation and be a solid, back-end starter. I mean, he's had his struggles this year, though. So I don't think that he's, the most reliable, but I think he does enough to be able to be considered, a reliable, back-end starter.
And finally, I want to talk about the closing pitcher, Tanner Houck, for a moment. Tanner is the closer for the Red Sox, and currently he's been pretty effective this year. He's had a few blown saves here and there, but overall Tanner has held his own so far. Just give me your thoughts on Tanner so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's always had nasty stuff. I mean, he was somebody to me where when he was pitching out of the rotation, he never really had developed a third pitch. He has two solid pitches that are really, really good, but he always struggled the third time through a batting order because he didn't really have that third pitch. And so to me, he always has kind of been somebody that maybe is more equipped to be out of the bullpen instead of starting games and just pitch more, on a short-term basis for 1 or 2 innings type of guy. I think that's where he's most effective. I think obviously the bullpen has kind of been a mess this year in terms of where people are pitching, who's doing what. I think being the closer could be a really good spot for him. I think him being that guy who comes in just in the ninth inning, it might be an appropriate place for him. I do think the Red Sox still need to trade for a reliever or two at the trade deadline. I think there's a couple people in that bullpen right now that are just not reliable. So I do think they still aim for another reliever or two, maybe trying to move him around a little bit. But I kind of see him as a good fit for that maybe eighth inning spot or closing. And I know they said when Garrett Whitlock comes back, he is going to pitch out of the bullpen as well. So I think he's another one that could play around in the closing spot too. But overall, his stuff is nasty. I mean, he's somebody who can provide really, really good value moving forward out of the bullpen, I think.
All right, Gabby, so far in this first half of the year, both New York teams have been playing extremely well, the Mets and the Yankees. I want to talk specifically about the Yankees. We know about the rivalry between the Yankees and the Red Sox. The last time I had you on the program, you mentioned how the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry is starting to catch steam again, and we saw it in the postseason last year. Give me your thoughts on how you would feel if, consider everything happens, and let's just say that everything turns out the way it's supposed to go. The Yankees and the Red Sox meet up again like they did last year, and with the way the Yankees have played this year and the Red Sox starting to get on winning ways again, will this bring even more steam back to the rivalry?
Yeah, I do. I do think the rivalry is stronger when both teams are good. I think at the beginning of the season when the Red Sox were starting off slow, it was a little bit weaker from that standpoint because it just wasn't as fun, like Yankees fans going at Red Sox fans and vice versa. I think when both teams are good, it strengthens the rivalry a lot more. I think last year them playing in the wild card game was great for baseball, just like, you know, that one game playoff, Red Sox-Yankees. I think any playoff series in which the Red Sox face the Yankees is really good for the game of baseball, just with the history and the rivalry and everything. So I think if the Red Sox continue to play good baseball, I mean, they face the Yankees in a couple of weeks. They play them twice over the next couple of weeks, once at Fenway and once in the Bronx. And so those two series, I think, could be very telling for how that rivalry is going to go for the rest of this year because they've only seen each other once so far, and it was the very first series of the season. And so I think those two series coming up are going to be really, really telling for how those matchups between those two teams are going to go for the rest of the season. But, yes, I do think that if the Red Sox continue to play good baseball, and obviously the Yankees are probably going to continue to win games as well, I think – the second half of the season is going to be really, really fun to look out for, especially if there's that possibility that they could see each other in the playoffs again.
Let's stay with New York for a moment. We mentioned the Yankees. Let's talk about the Mets now. The Mets have come out of nowhere so far in this first half of the year with Pete Alonso providing power, Francisco Lindor doing his thing. I mean, Max Scherzer, let's hypothetically say that the Mets get and represent the National League. How would you feel if we have a rematch of 86 in the World Series between the Mets and the Red Sox?
Yeah, people have mentioned that to me already, kind of that idea. I think that would be a lot of fun. I think it would be a really fun World Series for everybody except Yankees fans, probably, because they, I don't think, would like that too much. But I think that could be a really fun and pretty evenly matched series overall. I think both have power lineups. I think obviously, the Red Sox lineup we know is one of the best in baseball. I think the Mets have some serious talent in their lineup as well. Both have good rotations. I'm looking at the bullpen for both teams. It's kind of a little bit of a weakness right now. And so I think they both make moves at the trade deadline to address that. But I think that would be a solid competitive series. Like, the Mets are a team that I see in the National League that the Red Sox, as long as they stay on track and keep playing good baseball, could really be effective against, and I think that that's a team they could match up well with.
All right, and you heard it from her. She is Gabby Hurlbut. She is the host of the Boston Balling Podcast. The show is dedicated to highlighting anything and everything sports-related in the city of Boston. Again, Gabby, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody about the Boston Balling Podcast.
Yeah, first of all, thanks again for having me. It's always a fun time. talking sports with you. But, yeah, Boston Balling basically covers everything going on in Boston sports. I bring guests on the show. I drop an episode once a week. The guests are a lot of fun, super knowledgeable about whatever team we're talking about that week. So it's a lot of fun. You can find Boston Balling on any podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you might listen to podcasts. It's also on YouTube. There's a Facebook page where I drop live streams of the episodes when they air. So you could catch it there. And it's also on social media. There's an Instagram and Twitter account for Boston Balling as well. So definitely feel free to check it out. My guests are all kind of different types of people with different experience in the industry. They all do different things. So definitely a lot of fun and would, you know, appreciate the support for sure.
Awesome. I've got to ask you, with things kind of lightening up a bit and as far as COVID requirements are concerned, have you had an opportunity to go to a Sox game at Fenway since we've kind of loosened up on the requirements a bit?
I did. I actually was at Fenway. They were playing the Tigers at home, and I actually was able to go to one of those games, and it felt so good to go. I mean, I love going to Fenway. It's one of my favorite places in the world, and that 2020 season of not being able to go to games was really tough. So it just feels good to be able to go to baseball games again and have, you know, big crowds there and just have bringing that real feeling of baseball back.
Awesome. Were the Fenway Franks still good?
Yes. They're still on par just as much as they have always been. So that was definitely not a disappointment.
I got to ask you this lighthearted question. Can you explain to the listeners what a Fenway Frank is, and how do you like to eat your Fenway Franks?
Yeah, so essentially a Fenway Frank is a hot dog, but not just any hot dog. Like, they put this really good, like, if you want it, like, chili sauce and melted cheese on it that I like to get on mine, or you can pretty much get whatever you want. They have, like, a lot of different toppings, but usually it's, like, this chili sauce that they dip the hot dog in and put it on the bun, and then they melt a bunch of cheese over it. And it's so, so good. Like, I recommend it to anybody who goes to Fenway. You have to try it because, like, just the way that they do it, like, the way that they mix everything together is just, like, so good. It's basically one of those things where I tell people you can't go to Fenway and not get a Fenway Frank.
Is the Frank all beef, or is it a combination of beef and pork?
Oh, no, it's a combination. They have different ones that you can choose from. They're not all the same.
All right, awesome. And you heard it from her. She's Gabby Hurl, but she is the host of the Boston Balling podcast, the podcast dedicated to covering everything sports related to the city of Boston. Gabby, thank you so much again. And tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as Boston Balling and any websites that you want to promote. Let them know that as well.
Yeah, sure. So I am on all forms of social media at Gabby_Hurl10 on Instagram, at Gabby Hurlbutt 10 on Twitter, and then Boston Balling's accounts are at Boston_Balling_podcast on Instagram and at Boston Balling on Twitter. So you can find the account that way. I'm constantly posting sports content on my social media all the time. So that's pretty much what my accounts, personal accounts consist of as well. And then obviously sharing podcast stuff too. I love to interact with people on social media. So I get new followers, I'm always, you know, interacting with them, talking about various things going on in sports. So it's a lot of fun. Definitely would appreciate that support. Boston Balling YouTube channel also has all the episodes on there. People can check that out through there as well. But subscribe on any podcast platform. Just search Boston Balling and you will find it that way.
You heard it from her. She's Gabby Hurl, but she is the host of the Boston Balling podcast. Gabby, thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Thank you. Yeah, once again, I always appreciate you inviting me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And we'll be back with more right after this.
Ground ball to third. Ramirez down to second. One. And that one gets by. Here comes the run. In to score, the Red Sox get on the board that way.
Savali looking to the runner, he throws, and Christian rips one into right field, hangs up for Gonzalez, he started in, now back, it's over his head, it one hops the wall, Franchi's going to be waved home, the throw to second, not in time, RBI double for Christian Vasquez.
Back to it.
Rosario shovels for one, on to first, looking for two, and it's bobbled again. Vasquez is in to score.
3-2. Runners will start at every base. The pitch is swung on and looped into shallow left field. Back on it goes Rosario. In comes the left fielder. He dives. He can't get it. It's in for a hit. Martinez has scored. Bogart's behind him. It's a two-run bloop hit for Trevor Story, and it's 5-0 Red Sox. Devers today has lined out to center, singled to center, was intentionally walked in the fourth, and then grounded out to short. 5-1 Red Sox in the seventh. Tully, the left-hander, throws, and Raffy rips one on the ground into center field. That's a base hit. Vasquez scores. 6-1 Red Sox. Two on, two out. Big spot for JD, who's had a great day.
Socks that one toward the alley. There's nobody out there. It's onto the grass. Here comes Jackie into score. Into second base, JD's got himself a double. Red Sox add on indeed here. And now lead it 7-3. And all loaded up. And that squibs right through, right past Maley, and another run is in. Here comes Raffy Devers to score.
Big run right there.
Ask Gregory is a financial podcast from the guys who bring you Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Something that's come up on the show over the last 10 years is that if you're not at your old job, maybe your 401k shouldn't be either. But do you really know why we say that? It's a funny thing. We put a few hundred bucks in our 401k every month. It ends up to be thousands of dollars every year, hundreds of thousands of dollars over our career, and you don't really know that much about it. How do you invest it? How do you diversify? What do you buy? What do you avoid? You've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do. Ask Gregory. Ask Gregory is our new podcast with these financial topics broken down into specific little chunks. So if you have a financial situation or you just want to learn more about money, ask Gregory. Find the Ask Gregory podcast on the Winning It Life app or wherever you get podcasts. Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any government agency. Ask Gregory is a financial podcast from the guys who bring you Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Something that's come up on the show over the last 10 years is that if you're not at your old job, maybe your 401k shouldn't be either. But do you really know why we say that? It's a funny thing. We put a few hundred bucks in our 401k every month. It ends up to be thousands of dollars every year, hundreds of thousands of dollars over our career. And you don't really know that much about it. How do you invest it? How do you diversify? What do you buy? What do you avoid? You've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do. Ask Gregory. Ask Gregory is our new podcast with these financial topics broken down into specific little chunks. So if you have a financial situation or you just want to learn more about money, ask Gregory. Find the Ask Gregory podcast on the Winning at Life app or wherever you get podcasts. Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any government agency.
Ask Gregory is a financial podcast from the guys who bring you Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Learn the ins and outs, do's, don'ts, rules, and tools of the financial world. From rising inflation and higher taxes in retirement, to market volatility, your 401k, to your IRA, your pension, to your Social Security, to Medicare. Got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do? Ask Gregory. Ask Gregory is our new podcast with the financial topics broken down into specific little chunks. So if you have a financial situation or you just want to learn more about money, ask Gregory. Find the Ask Gregory podcast on the Winning at Life app, the iHeartRadio app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any government agency.
Gear up and save big this summer with 30% off the GhostBed RV mattress. Enjoy luxurious comfort with four layers of premium materials perfectly sized for your RV, camper, or trailer. Crafted with cooling gel memory foam and our exclusive Ghost Bounce foam for a balanced feel and incredible support. Try out the GhostBed RV mattress for 101 nights and rest easy with our industry-leading warranty. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Wake up ready to tackle the day with GhostBed.
Ask Gregory is a financial podcast from the guys who bring you Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Learn the ins and outs, do's, don'ts, rules, and tools of the financial world. From rising inflation and higher taxes in retirement to market volatility, your 401k to your IRA, your pension to your Social Security to Medicare. Got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do? Ask Gregory. Ask Gregory is our new podcast with the financial topics broken down into specific little chunks. So if you have a financial situation or you just want to learn more about money, ask Gregory. Find the Ask Gregory podcast on the Winning at Life app, the iHeartRadio app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any government agency.
Ask Gregory is a financial podcast from the guys who bring you Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Something that's come up on the show over the last 10 years is that if you're not at your old job, maybe your 401k shouldn't be either. But do you really know why we say that? It's a funny thing. We put a few $100 in our 401k every month. It ends up to be thousands of dollars every year, hundreds of thousands of dollars over our career, and you don't really know that much about it. How do you invest it? How do you diversify? What do you buy? What do you avoid? You've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do. Ask Gregory. Ask Gregory is our new podcast with these financial topics broken down into specific little chunks. So if you have a financial situation or you just want to learn more about money, ask Gregory. Find the Ask Gregory podcast on the Winning at Life app or wherever you get podcasts. Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any government agency.
Ask Gregory is a financial podcast from the guys who bring you Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Learn the ins and outs, do's, don'ts, rules, and tools of the financial world. So if you have a financial situation or you just want to learn more about money, ask Gregory. Find the Ask Gregory podcast on the Winning at Life app or wherever you get your podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any government agency.
These sounds are the sounds of lower emissions. That's because one day soon, engines like these could run on lower emission fuel. Renewable diesel derived from plants that's engineered to keep millions of tons of CO2 out of the air. At ExxonMobil, we're working to supply the energy the world needs today, while playing a leading role in the transportation sector's transition to a lower emission future. It's one of the ways we're advancing climate solutions. Learn more at ExxonMobil.com/fuels.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this edition of Extra Base Hit. Once again, a big special thank you to Gabby Hurlbut, the host of the Boston Balling Podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering all sports in the city of Boston, and thanks again to her for giving us great insight on what's currently going on with the Boston Red Sox. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to Extra Base Hit.